think we're going to make a start. In some of the churches, they have a countdown to the beginning of the service. And now with so many people in the vestibule, and I can see them from here, I think we're going to have a countdown from now on that maybe they'll all come in be here in time. But good morning, everyone. Let me give you a warm welcome to church today. It's good to see you all here. Today is our all-age service, and so boys and girls stay in right throughout the service, and then there is tea and coffee in the hall across the way after the service, so do please remember that. So you get double today, tea on the way in, tea on the way out. So do please stay for that. Just a number of announcements to draw your attention to. Firstly, to remind you of the service tonight. Tonight is the United Praise Service, when all the Presbyterian churches in the town gather together. As always, the speaker on at that service is going to be the moderator of the General Assembly this year, Dr. William Henry. And the service this year will be taking place in First Ards. So do please come along and show your support there to the service tonight. And then next Sunday morning is another special service for us. It's our CE service. And the service will be led by the boys and girls of the Christian Endeavour. And the speaker next Sunday morning will be David Morrison, who's the assistant in Scrabo Presbyterian Church. And then, as you will notice from the announcement sheet, the home Bible study groups meet in the incoming week. And you have the times and the places for those groups, and so we would ask you to note that. And if you're not part of a home Bible study group and you would like to be part of one or think about maybe what's involved, and do speak to myself or to any of the leaders of the groups, and they will give you all the information that you need. Then just one last announcement, and that's just to let you know that the world, the Bible reading notes, word for today, are available in the vestibule this morning. Okay, that's all our announcements for this morning. We're going to be looking at a really interesting story from the Old Testament, the story of Nathan going to confront King David. But let's begin as we simply enter into the presence of God, expressing our delight in his love for us and singing forth our praises for who he is. And we are really encouraged to do that in our opening hymn. It's "Come People of the Risen King."
Thank you.
going to pray together now, and our prayers are going to be led for us by Fran. And then after that, Linda will come and do a dramatized type of reading of the story of Nathan going to David.
Almighty God, we come before you this morning humbly. You are our great creator God, the one true living God. You are the Holy One, and you are the one who is awesome. Your power is beyond understanding. And we thank you for the love and care that you give to each one of us. We ask you to forgive us our sins, all our wrongdoing, and we pray you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for each and every family gathered here. We thank you for each person. We thank you for our food, for our clothes, for family and for friends. Our God, we thank you for the Bible, the word of life to us. We just pray as we gather here this morning that you'll help us to understand and that you'll be with us. We pray that you will go with us this week, and we pray that we may feel your presence here in a very real way. And you will speak to the youngest, from the youngest to the oldest. In Jesus' name, amen.
King David was supposed to be out with his army, but he chose to stay at home in a safe place. David was the king. He was supposed to be the leader of the army, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do. David got himself into lots of trouble. He made bad choices instead of following God's rules. David put himself first instead of God. He saw something he liked, he wanted it, and he took it for himself. He stole something that wasn't his. He told lies. He broke people's hearts. He even got someone killed. David thought he could hide what he had done, but God saw everything. Remember, God knows us inside and out. God sent a messenger called Nathan to tell David that he knew the mistakes and wrong choices that David had made. He wanted him to know that he had broken his rules. So Nathan told the king a little story. The story was meant to make David realize the mistakes he had made. Once upon a time, there were two men. One was very, very rich, and the other very poor. The rich man had loads of sheep and cows in his fields, and the poor man had one little lamb. The poor man loved his little lamb so much. It was a special wee pet. He shared his food with it, and he slept with it in his arms at night. It was just like a little baby. One day, a visitor came to the rich man's house. The rich man wanted to make the visitor something to eat. But instead of killing one of his own many sheep or cows, he took the little lamb from the poor man. And the poor man was heartbroken because he had loved that lamb so much. When King David heard the story, he was really cross. He was so angry with the rich man, and he was so angry that he had taken something that didn't belong to him, a precious little lamb that was loved by the poor man. "Who is this rich man?" shouted King David. "He must be punished." Then Nathan, the messenger, said quietly, "You are the man. God made you king. He gave you everything, but you have been very selfish and have taken what doesn't belong to you just because you're rich, powerful, and the king. You have hurt people, breaking their hearts. You even got someone killed. You have broken God's rules." David was stunned. He could now see that he had made lots of mistakes. He said, "Yes, I have sinned. I have made so many mistakes. I'm sorry I have broken God's rules." Then Nathan said to David, "You must be punished. But because he can see you're truly sorry, God will forgive you." Wow. God had forgiven him. God is so forgiving. When we make mistakes and sin, that's when we say or do or think wrong things. When we break God's rules. And we need to tell God we're sorry. And when we do, he will forgive us too. It is as if God rubs out our mistakes and we can start again. God loves us so much that he forgives us when we tell him we're sorry.
Thank you. Now, boys and girls, I'm sure you watch films on TV. Would you like to tell me what some of your favourite films are? Now, you're going to have to shout because you know I'm deaf. Yes, Julia.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of
Azkaban. Okay, Harry Potter. Yes, Harry Potter is very popular. Any other ones that are popular? Okay.
James Bond.
James Bond, okay. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Toy Story.
Okay. There's lots of them, I'm sure. Well, I want to tell you about a film that I really liked when I was a boy growing up. And I wonder if any of you have ever heard of this film. The Wizard of Oz. Oh, you have? Hands up, big people as well, who like The Wizard of Oz. Anybody who doesn't like The Wizard of Oz, really there's something wrong with you. And of course, The Wizard of Oz tells the story of Dorothy, and she's going to go along the yellow brick road, and I'm almost tempted to break out in song, but I won't impose that upon you. And as she's going along the yellow brick road, she meets her three friends. The straw man, who needs a brain. The tin man, who needs a heart. And the lion, who's lost his courage. And I have to say to you, my favorite of our three friends is the lion. And the lion gives this impression that he's very brave. And he's trying to go around and frighten people. But actually, if somebody stands up to him in any way, his true character comes out. He's timid. He's frightened. And in our picture, he's even going to cry. Imagine a lion being like that. And here's the thing, people in church, it doesn't matter what age we are. We're all a bit like the lion. We put on this brave face. We give the impression that there's nothing that bothers us. Until, of course, something happens or something is asked of us that pushes us out of our comfort zone. And then fear gets the better of us. And we think to ourselves, I couldn't do that. It's just too hard. And of course, in the story of The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy was captured and taken to the castle of the Wicked Witch of the East. And the three friends decided that they must go and rescue her. Now, do you think when they decided that the lion suddenly got his courage? Of course he didn't. He didn't want to go. He was really frightened and scared. But in the end, he went. Because there was something within him that was greater than his fear. And that something within him was his love for Dorothy. And he showed courage. Because courage doesn't mean he stopped being frightened. Courage means that he wasn't going to let his fears stand in the way of what he knew was right. And in our reading that we had from Linda, we meet a man who showed that kind of courage. His name was Nathan. He was a prophet in the court of King David. A prophet is really like a preacher, like myself. David had done a great wrong. He had tried to cover it up. But God saw what he did. And can't we be like David? When we do wrong, we try to hide it. We can be successful at maybe doing that for a while, but we all know the little saying, be sure your sins will find you out. But the point is, the one person that we can't deceive is God. He sees all that we do. And God gave Nathan this important task. He was to go to King David and confront him with the wrong that he had done. Now, I'm sure Nathan's initial thoughts were something like this. Why me, God? Couldn't you send someone else? And Nathan would have had every reason to be frightened. David wanted his business kept quiet. If Nathan confronted him, there was every possibility that David would have him killed. For David had the power to do that as king. Now, we're not told what Nathan thought or how he felt. We are simply told that he went to the king. But I'm sure before he went, he must have rehearsed in his head many times what he was going to say. I'm sure he prayed often for God's help. But in the end, he didn't allow his fears to stand in the way of doing God's will. And what helped him to overcome his fears? Well, I'm sure the first thing that helped him was his love for God. Nathan's chief desire in life was to please God, to do his will. This was what enabled him to confront his fears and to go to the king despite them. And the second thing was his love for David. Nathan was genuinely concerned for David. He knew he had done wrong. He was greatly concerned that the king's life was going in the wrong direction and that that might do further harm to him and to the people of the nation. And isn't it so often fear that keeps us from responding to God's call on our lives? Whether that call is to make that initial commitment of our lives to Jesus or to step out in obedience to him in some new way. You know, the fear of what's involved. Will I be able for it? Will I keep it up? The fear of where it will lead. It's a step into the unknown. The fear of what other people might think or might say or might react. And is it fear that is holding you back from embracing God's will for your life? think to yourself, how can I overcome that fear? Well, could I encourage you to consider the fact that God is bigger than your fear? God's love is bigger than your fear. God's power is bigger than your fear. And I can tell you that is the case, for I have discovered it time and time again in my own life. In the ministry, I have found myself in all kinds of situations where I felt I was in way, way above my head. Didn't know how I was going to cope. But as I looked to Jesus and stepped out in obedience to him, often terrified, shaking inside and often shaking outside as well, I discovered that he was sufficient for my needs. But there's only one way that you will be able to discover that for yourself. And that's if you are ready to do what he says, despite your fears. We're going to continue as we worship God together. And we're going to sing two songs that really take up two of the themes that I have been exploring with you. The first is the greatness of God's love for us. And the magnitude of that love is seen at the cross as God gives himself for us. And then thinking about God's power, that the God in whom we trust, if we are prepared to do so, is the one who is mighty to save. And so let's stand together as we sing. There's a place where mercy reigns, and then we continue standing to sing Mighty to Save.
Thank you.
And now, boys and girls, if you'd like to come down to the front, all the boys and girls up to P7, Michael is going to come and speak to you.
I think I'll follow the tradition of sitting down now. It's good. I'm your level now. Nice to see you all. Thank you for coming. I'm going to ask you to make some choices. There's even more. Brilliant. I'm going to ask you to make some choices in different situations. So here's the first one. Right. If you're not feeling well, not feeling terribly well, would you go and ask opinion or advice from this person? Or would you go and look for advice here? Now, don't get me wrong, you'll get an awful lot. Which one would you think you would choose? Which one would you go to? Julia? The doctors. I know a lot of people who would go to Google, and they would go thinking, I've got a wee bit of a sore throat, and they would look up Google, and they would come to the conclusion that they've only got a few days to live, because they'd have found something that if you have a sore throat, it could be this, and they would convince themselves, oh, it's the worst possible thing I could possibly have. So if you're not feeling well, then you're better to go and get the advice of a doctor rather than looking up Google. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good stuff on the internet, but there's a lot of nonsense too. So what about if you're a bit lost and you need some directions in the mountains? I think some of you might know where we're going with this. Would you ask for directions from this man? Or would you ask directions from just about anybody else that you could find? What do you reckon? Not sure.
Jim.
You would ask for directions from Jim. I thought one of the children might say that, because a lot of his talks have been for the adults later on when he tells us about the number of times he has got lost in the mountains. He told us about one time where he nearly ran out of water, and I think, you know, he might not have been here if he'd got lost in some hot place in the mountains. So Jim tells us lots of stories about getting lost in the mountains. So if I was looking for advice, if I was lost and I came across Jim, I would go, nice to see you, Jim, and I would walk on until I find someone else. So what about, you can't do your schoolwork. Would you ask for help from this person? Or would you ask for help from this person? What do you think? Yeah? You'd ask for help from the clown? Well, the thing is, the clown might well know the answer, but clowns are all about making people laugh. So even if they do know the answer, they're just going to try and make you laugh by saying something funny or something silly. Whereas a teacher, really, it's their job to help you and to give you good advice. And so you probably would, if you might ask the clown and then you might have a good laugh and then go and ask the teacher, because they're the ones who really are there to help you. Now, this is a top tip for some of you. I know some of you will be going either this year or next year or quite soon into a big school. So I taught for 24 years in big schools, so I know what I'm talking about. If you don't know your way to class, if you go to a big school, now some of you think you're in a big school because maybe you go to Abbey and there's hundreds of people there. Some of you might might be fortunate and go to quite a small big school, if that makes sense. Or you might go to one of the really big schools with over 1,000 people there, and you might get lost. And you might want to ask for help. So would you ask for help from these people? Or would you ask for help from this man? What do you think? The man. Now, one top tip. If you can't find a teacher to ask for help from or advice from, if you ask the pupils, if it sounds like they're sending you somewhere very, very far away in the school, they're probably deliberately sending you the wrong way. So here's my top tip. If you can't find a teacher, ask the pupils and then go round the corner and find other pupils and ask them. And if they both tell you the same thing, then it's probably true. Sometimes it's quite good fun for some of the older ones in schools to send the wee ones who don't know their way away to the wrong place, so they're not given very good advice. So just be careful about that one. So whose advice should I listen to then? Because there's people who give advice and really you think, should I listen to that, should I not listen to that? So I'm going to give you a few wee tips. Try and seek out the advice for people who care about you. The other pupils in school, they just care about having a laugh. The clown generally cares about having a laugh. But up in them, even if you don't ask Jim, I know Jim cares about me, so it's not just about people who care about you. It's about people who care about you and people who know what they're talking about. When it comes to many, many, many things, I would ask Jim's advice. Because he knows a lot of stuff, but he doesn't seem to know much about where to go in the mountains. I think he probably does. I think he tells us he doesn't, but I think he probably does. He probably only gets lost maybe once every couple of weeks or something like that. So you need to look for people who care about you, and you need to look for people who know what they're talking about. Now, Nathan went to give advice to King David, and Jim's already said part of the reason why he was, even though he was scared, he went to give that advice because he cared about David. He cared about the people that David looked after, and he cared about David. And he really knew what he was talking about because God had told him what David had done. So those are the people you should look for advice. So there's some examples of where you could get advice. Your parents care about you. Now, they don't know everything, so sometimes they don't know what they're talking about, but they do care about you. Your teachers in school, your Sunday school teachers, Jim the minister, so long as you know, pick something he knows about, then go and get his advice. Your leaders in the BBGB, your zone CE, other places you go, your leaders care about you. And if you want their advice about something they know about, then they're good people. And you've also got a conscience in your head that God has given you. And sometimes you're thinking, should I do this or should I do that? And you go and ask some of your friends. And they go, oh, it's okay, go and do that. But there's something in your head that's saying, don't think that's right. And that's God speaking to you through your conscience and saying, you know it's not right. Don't go and ask people, is it okay? Because you know it's not right. And I'm sure when King David had done the wrong things he had done, his conscience was really eating away at him and telling him, you did things that weren't right. So your conscience is something that God has given you to try and help you to know what's right and wrong. And this is another wee question you should ask yourself. Is the person telling me what I want to hear? Or are they telling me what God wants me to hear? Because sometimes we look for people who will tell us what we want to hear, rather than thinking, is that really what God wants me to hear? And how do we know that? How do we know about what God wants us to hear? Well, if we get to know God better, if we understand what God thinks like, and understand how God has acted in different ways in the world, then we can understand what God wants from us. And the way we do that is read the Bible regularly, because it tells us all sorts of stories about God. It tells us stories in the Bible about people who followed God. And it tells us stories in the Bible about people who messed up very badly, who should have known better, who should have done the right things, but they didn't. And the Bible tells us stories like that. So there are plenty of people in the Bible who are a bit like us. We mess up. We do things we shouldn't do. But we need to read the Bible to learn as well what God actually is like and what he wants us to do. And we need to talk to God. We don't learn what somebody thinks without talking to them. So we need to talk to God in prayer. So those are my top tips on how to get advice. And if somebody wants to come and give me better advice later on, I'll listen to you, as long as you know what you're talking about. Okay, we're going to sing a hymn now. And it's about really about how much God cares about us. God is one person who we know cares about us because he sent Jesus to die for us, and that was a big thing. And this song is I am who you say I am.
boys and girls, you can go back to your mums and dads, and while the boys and girls are doing that, we're going to take up the offering. We've been thinking about that incident in the Bible where David did a terrible wrong, tried to cover it up, but God sent Nathan the prophet to him. And at this point, we wonder, how did David react when he heard this news from Nathan the prophet? Well, actually, we don't need to wonder. Because David wrote a psalm right after that incident to express his own feelings and reactions. And that psalm is Psalm number 51. And Carson is going to read some of the verses from that psalm to us this morning. Carson.
The reading's going to be taken from Psalm 51, verses 1 to 12. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 573. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Amen.
Thank you, Carson. Tongue twisters. I like to, some of the tongue twisters that there are, and I like to try and say them. You know what tongue twisters are? They're phrases that are difficult to say without tripping over the words. This one at the bottom, and I have been practicing, the sixth, sick, sheeks, sixth, sheeps, sick. It's supposed to be, by the Guinness Book of Records, one of the most difficult ones to say. And I thought this morning I would get you to try a few tongue twisters with me. For everybody, not just for boys and girls, for everybody. And we're going to start with one that's pretty easy. So, she sells seashells by the sea. Oh, wow, you're very confident. Let's try it a wee bit quicker just to see how you go. Okay? She sells seashells by the seashore. Wow. Now you're feeling good about yourselves, aren't you? You're thinking, that was good. Well, let's try this one. And let me say it first before you say it. Okay? So here it is. How much wood could a woodchucker chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? A woodchuck could chuck as much wood as a woodchuck would chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Okay? Very simple. Really easy. So let's give it a go, and we'll do it at a sort of slowish pace, because some of you who have false teeth will need to push them in tight. Okay? So let's give it a go. Pretty slow. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? A woodchuck could chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Whew. Now, a little bit faster. So are you ready now? Deep breathing and everything. Now, follow me quickly. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? A woodchuck could chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Whew. Really good. Are you ready for the next one? Harder still. Here comes the really hard one. Now, we all know that those words are not hard to say. You would never trip over them. But how difficult do we find it to say those words, even when we know we are in the wrong? And when Nathan confronted David with the wrong that he had done, David actually did something remarkable. He didn't respond to Nathan by saying, "Don't want to talk about this." He didn't dismiss what Nathan had to say. He didn't make excuses for his behavior. He didn't command Nathan to be silent on pain of death. And David could have done all those things. Instead, he faced the truth. He recognized he was in the wrong, and he said, "I'm sorry." And in our world, the person who admits their wrong is often considered as a weak person. But I want to tell you this morning, it takes a really big person to admit when they're wrong and to acknowledge that publicly before others. And at this point, what David actually did was repent. And his attitude of repentance is expressed in the psalm that he wrote at that time and which Carson read for us. Psalm 51. And repentance is the attitude we are to show when God confronts us with the wrong in our lives. Now the word repent has at its root meaning the thought of doing an about turn. You're going in one direction and you stop and you go in the opposite direction. And I want you to learn this morning that repentance involves our whole being. Repentance begins in the mind. When confronted with the truth of God's word, we are ready to admit that we are in the wrong with God. And that acknowledgement is unconditional. We don't make excuses for our behavior. We don't try and put part of the blame on someone else. We are ready to say to God, what you say about me is true. I admit it. I confess it. And we see David responding in this way in the psalm, verse 3. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Repentance begins in the mind. But the thing is, it doesn't stop there. It also involves the heart. We realize that we are in the wrong before God, and our consciences are aroused, and we begin to feel both our unworthiness and our guilt before God. And it affects us so much that we have no peace of mind. And perhaps we can't even sleep until the matter is resolved. David puts it this way in verses 5-6. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. During the Troubles, there was a young teenager who fired a gun into a house where two boys were watching the television in the living room. Fortunately, no harm was done to anyone. And the young boy was never discovered. But then, 20 years later, this young boy, now turned a man, went into a police station and confessed his crimes. He had been wrestling with his conscience for 20 years. And he went and confessed what he had done. And asked about the matter, the man said this: the two nights I spent in police custody were the best night's sleep I have had in a very long time. Repentance begins in the mind, where we recognize that we have done wrong in God's eyes. But it moves to the heart, where our consciences are stirred and we realize our guilt. But it doesn't stop there. It also involves our wills. We make our confession before God. We say we are sorry. And so recognizing our guilt and confessing our guilt, we surrender our lives into Jesus' hands. And I want to say to you and to myself, because I know this applies equally to myself, many times people never genuinely repent because they never reach that point. They recognize their sin, but it doesn't go any further. Or having recognized their sin, they feel remorse for their sin, but it doesn't go any further. But if we are to repent of our sin, it not only means recognizing it, feeling remorse for it, but it also means throwing our lives on the mercy of God and surrendering our wills to Jesus. David puts it this way in the Psalm, verse 17. the sacrifices of God. And you know, in the Old Testament, the way that people worship God was through sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. In other words, true worship at its heart involves repentance. And Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation, when he nailed his 95 thieves to the door of the church at Wittenberg, one of the thieves that he had written was this: "Our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance." And so often we associate repentance with the beginning of the Christian life. But it is necessary the whole way through it, because we continually stumble and fall. And it takes courage to repent. And we might wonder, where do we get the courage to do that? Well, that courage comes from God's amazing love for you and me. From that love that is willing to forgive despite our undeserving. And so this morning, are you ready to repent with your whole being, acknowledging your sin, seeking his forgiveness, and placing yourselves completely in the hands of Jesus? Perhaps today is the day where you truly repent for the first time and make that surrender of yourself to Jesus. Or perhaps God has been speaking to you about some wrong in your life, and now is the moment to deal with it and to put it right. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Father, we know that you see us just as we are. We can't hide from you. We hide so much from other people, even from those nearest to us. But you see us just as we are. You know the wrong that we have done. You know how we stand before you. But thank you for your amazing love, that love that sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, that love that is willing to so freely forgive. Help us today to repent, to acknowledge our sin, to feel that sense of remorse for our sin, to turn and to seek your forgiveness, and to quietly surrender our lives into your hands. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we have our closing hymn. I think our closing hymn is a medley of different well-known hymns from the past. Could you put it up, Phil? But we're going to start with "What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What Can Make Me Whole Again? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Let's stand together.
Thank you.
remind you of tea and coffee in the minor hall. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.